For the invitation to be with you. It's a joy. I enjoyed 8 o'clock and I'm certainly enjoying myself now. You may wonder why I don't have a chasuble on. It's not because I'm particularly low church. It's because I have a very weird thermostat and I perspired profusely at 8 o'clock, so I decided to be cool at 10. So that's why I don't have a chasuble on. I hope you don't mind, but it's just cooler this way. I want to give you a little background information on the gospel to help you understand it a little bit better. If you look with me about halfway down, you'll see a parenthesis between the word defile and Jesus. That's where I want to start. It says, Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, if you're familiar with the geography of Palestine, you'll know that in the... Okay, that's fine. I'm going to take notes too. Wow. There'll be a test now. I love it. If you're familiar with the geography of Palestine, you'll know that Jerusalem is the bottom, Bethlehem is behind that, below that, and then comes Nazareth, and then Galilee, and then the Sea of Galilee, and above that it is what is now Lebanon. But back then it was known as Tyre and Sidon. It was outside of Israel. The point is, he was outside of Israel. He left Israel and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, why he went there, we don't know. Maybe he went there for a retreat, for some quiet time to get away from everybody who was after him. We don't know. But the point is, he was outside Israel. Now, also remember that the Gospel of Matthew was written to a Hebrew audience. So this was wake up for these people who are reading this. Just then, a Canaanite woman was a pagan woman. They worshiped the god Baal, who was a fertility god. Good Jews, good Hebrews, did not speak to pagans. You'll remember when Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, they wondered why Jesus was speaking to her. Well, it's the same thing. Good Hebrews did not speak to these people because they were not part of the tribe of Israel. It was basically forbidden. They were unclean. But she comes and says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." The word Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua, means God saves. So she addresses him with a Hebrew title, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, how does this pagan know that? You got to wonder. And she addresses him with that. But what did he do as a good Jew? He said nothing at all. He simply ignored it. And then the disciples get involved. Oh, come on, send her away. She's bothering us. Does this bring back memories of the last couple of weeks when the crowd was pressing in on them? They were tired. They had a long day. They didn't want to feed them. They wanted them to go away and get their own dinner. Remember? And Jesus says, no. You give them something to eat. Disciples were a cranky bunch. And then he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's a good Hebrewic answer. He was sent only to Israel. God's chosen is what Israel means. But there's a key in here, because the word Israel is changing its meaning. God's chosen people is no longer going to be just the Hebrews. You get a hint of that in the first lesson we had, when God talks about including people from other races and other nations. Things are changing. But she came, this pagan woman came and knelt for him and said, "Lord, help me another time." And he answered, "It's not fair to take," I like the other translation, "bread and throw it to the dogs." But she says in response to that, "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." You see how persistent she is? Every time he gives a retort, she comes back with something else. And then, because of her tenacity and her coming back and coming back and coming back again, Jesus says to her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you wish." And her daughter was healed. This reminds me of another one of my favorite stories from the Gospel of Mark. It's the story of the centurion, another a Roman soldier, another guy outside of the Hebrews, outside of the covenant of Israel, whose son was ill. And he went to Jesus and said, "My son is ill. If you will, heal him." And Jesus said, "If you believe, it will be done." And the centurion says, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And his son was healed. There's a couple of messages in here that are important. And the one is, we can't always be sure of who the in group is in any one situation. And I think, especially as Episcopalians, if we're honest, sometimes we like to think of ourselves as the in group, don't we? Mm-hmm. You know, I think sometimes we even think when we get to heaven there's going to be like an express check-in line. You know? No waiting, express check-in, you know? And when people who are not like us might come into church and we look at them, we think, we don't say anything, but we think, might move over in a pew a little bit. Really not our kind. Gotta watch out for that. Because you never know when you're gonna be in a situation when you're gonna be that person who's on the outside looking in. And you don't wanna be that. That's a lesson for all of us right there. The other lesson is the tenacity of the woman. She keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. That's a lesson for all of us. If God doesn't answer your prayer the first time, and I don't mean God give me a new car, I'm talking about if you're praying for a friend who's ill or for a new rector who's faithful, whatever it is, and God doesn't answer it right away, keep going back to him, keep going back to him, keep going back to him. Be tenacious in your prayers. Keep knocking at the door. Be faithful. And God will reward you the same as he rewarded this woman and the same as he rewarded the centurion. That's the lesson we all need to take from this. If you first don't get what you want or what you think the other person needs, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. Because it's in that tenacity that we find God's mercy. And that's the lesson we all need to take from this.